Hey, and welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRailia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I'm Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And this week we're lucky enough, Chris, to be joined by, I'll just call him Young Max.
Young Max.
Yeah. Max is here to interject because we've got a lot of emails.
We do.
Usually on along this vein. You guys don't know what you're talking about.
That does happen a lot.
So Young Max is bringing to the show this week some special, what do you call it?
Specialization. Credibility.
Credibility.
Credibility is the word you're
the
looking for.
Innings and outings of your local comic
innings
book shop.
Innings and outings.
Hey, welcome, Max.
I think I saw that movie once.
Yeah. Now, Max, you're at Big B on Upper James, Big B Comics.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know your stuff, apparently.
I like to think I do.
Right on. Okay.
All right.
Well, so Max will be helping us out through the show. And dispensing his wisdom to the listenership.
Dispensing.
So, you guys might want to tape this show.
Oh, is this the one to tape?
Yeah, this is the one to tape. This is the one to tape.
We've been telling people that for years, but this is actually the
one. This is the one to
tape.
All right. We're going to start the show like we do every week with comics that are hitting the new this week stands at your local comic book shop.
All right. I thought you were done.
No, I'm not done at all. Okay, I'd like to get a sponsor in.
Oh, do you have a sponsor for us?
Always.
Okay, go ahead.
This week's new this week is brought to you by Christmas at your local comic book shop. Don't get her diamonds. Get her the Marvel Diamond Jubilee hardcover box set.
Because that's what she really wants.
Because that's what she really wants.
All right. You know what? If you do want to get something holiday themed, you can, however, get them the DC Rebirth Holiday Special number one. So this is a DC prestige format. We used to call them prestige formats in the day. I don't know what you call them nowadays.
Call it a thick-ass book
thick,
that costs a lot of money.
Comic book that costs lots of money. It's a $10 price tag. But hey, it's chock full of comic book goodness and more importantly, Christmas goodness.
Right.
So as usual, there's all kinds of, you know, holiday hijinks and shenanigans and short stories all devoted to all your favorite DC characters. You know, it's usually something about some sort of ghost coming from the past or some sort of villain who's, you know, seeing the light of day and wants to right his wrongs and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, great for the holiday season.
All right, Max, I'm going to ask you a question here.
Yeah.
Okay. When these holiday season, Halloween-themed, Christmas-themed things come and they're in, like, the mix of, let's say, a character.
Sure.
The people that are subscribing, do they hate this stuff or do they like the distraction and a little bit of interjection, I guess?
No, they hate it. yeah, they hate it.
Yeah.
They want their normal story. I mean, some guys think it's fun to have a holiday special remind them that it's Christmas time, but they get enough of that when they're in the shop. They're already hearing Christmas music as they come in. It's enough Christmas theme.
So true. Stuff every time.
They don't need a $10 reminder that they're here to celebrate Christmas too, but some people find it fun.
Okay, so what does a comic shop do when... this is a kind of a one-off, so it's different. But do you, like, if a guy orders Batman, do you have to now... And there's like a Batman Christmas special. Do you have to now like email every guy and girl ordering Batman and ask them if they want that Christmas special? Or do you pre-order it for them and then half the guys just put it back?
I mean, working at a shop, we like to think that we know our customers well enough that we can see if they'd actually like something like that or not.
Famous last words, Chris.
You know what?
I'm sure they'll love it.
You know what? Back in the day,
mm-hmm.
I would have just not ordered any of them.
No?
No. We order a couple, but hey, if you didn't order, there's previews. You can look through previews anytime you want, and you could have seen it. And if you wanted it, buy it.
And Max, that's why Chris is no longer in the industry.
That's why I'm not a manager anymore. Yeah.
All right. So listen, DC Rebirth Holiday Special number one at the low, low price of $9.99 US.
$9.99
is available at your local comic book shop today.
All right. We'll continue on with Marvel then.
All right.
Because
we started with Marvel?
That's right.
Oh.
We started with DC. That's right.
So I'm here for you, Chris. I'm here for you.
I meant to say we're going to continue on with DC. Sorry about that. So with DC, Nothing really big to report. There's lots of DC stuff going on. Probably one of the bigger things that's happening soon is the whole Justice League versus Suicide Squad event that's coming up soon.
Yeah.
But it's not out yet, so I don't really want to go too much into that. But what I do want to talk about is Wonder Woman, because we're going to talk about Wonder Woman later on in the show.
She's all through the show.
All through the show.
She's all over the show.
All over the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she used to be all over the 70s, too. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really am liking this whole dual storyline thing. But anyways, they're starting off with Year One, Part Five now, with Greg Rucka and Nicholas Scott is doing the artist. So I don't know if you're familiar with what's happening. So basically, they've taken the Wonder Woman story, and there's two parts, and every other issue is devoted to a different storyline. So, like, issue one is devoted to, like, the year one, and issue two is devoted to, like, what's happening now. And then issue three goes back to year one. So, anyways, they're up to issue number 12 now. And it's
sounds awfully complicated to me.
If you're not buying all of them, it can be complicated.
So what if you like the current saga? Then you're going 2, 4, 6?
Basically, yeah. But then you end up with for those of you who are completists out there, end up with, like, a half a collection.
And
you can't do that.
Now, you were talked about before. Was it the Suicide League? What are they called?
Suicide League. That's the amalgamation of both teams there. The Suicide League. I like that.
You don't have to be like that. What I meant is the Justice League.
Justice League.
And the Suicide Squad.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask Max here, because thank God Max is here. You know why? Because normally I would ask you this question,
right,
and you'd stare at me with that blank look.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping
I don't get that from
you.
I think that should be the title of his new bit, Ask Max.
Ask Max.
It even rolls off the tongue.
All right. So the Justice League is the premier team in the DC Universe.
Yeah.
Would you say now that the Suicide Squad is number two?
Yeah, right now. I mean, right now, Rebirth, they swapped the creative teams on Justice League and
Suicide. Creative team swap.
Suicide Squad might actually be better than Justice League right now. It's hard to say.
Yeah?
Yeah. So they're trying to bring back the Justice League of America, though.
Like
that is the number one team. DC at this point's divided it between, like, Justice League, JLA, and Suicide Squad.
Okay. So it's like the Avengers in 17 different Avengers reincarnations.
Yeah.
Incarnations.
Yeah. Reincarnations.
So out of Justice League, Suicide Squad, JLA is going to come back.
Right.
And then they'll probably bring Justice Society back for all the old-timers.
Right on.
Old-timers.
Yeah, baby.
I like it.
All right, good. Hey, Wonder Woman number 12.
We didn't talk about Wonder Woman at all, but that's fine. Yeah, it's good. Number 12.
Well, I'm holding the book then. Did you give me the wrong book?
Go on.
All right, Wonder Woman number 12 is available at your local comic book shop today.
Okay, we're gonna have a we're gonna go off course for a second here. And
I haven't been going off course.
Yeah, story of our lives.
Yes.
So next up, we have from Dark Horse.
Yes, Dark Horse.
Richard Corbin, Shadows on the Grave. Now, Richard Corbin, Max, you're probably too young to know what I'm talking about. Walt's an old timer like myself.
Mm-hmm.
So Richard Corbin. Old artist from, like, creepy and heavy metal from back in the day. And still, here's a guy that's been around for a dog's age, and somehow he still remains contemporary. He's still doing stuff, still doing horror comics. I love the fact that this guy is still doing stuff. It's very possible that this could have been something that actually came out, like, you know, 20 years ago, but it's still relevant now. Because it's
cool.
Everybody's into horror and zombies now. It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. Richard Corbin's Shadow of the Grave, number one.
Number one.
From Dark Horse Comics at your local comic book shop today. Cool cover.
I
like that cover.
It.
That's, you know what this book is?
What's that?
It's a good-looking book.
Good-looking book. Yeah. Good-looking book. You know what's also a good-looking book?
What's that?
Inhumans versus X-Men number one.
Whoa.
That is a good-looking book.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is the premier X-Men book right now, I would have to say, from Marvel. So, of course, you know, I'm jaded, though. When it comes to Marvel right now, I'm jaded. Because it just seems like Marvel's trying to get rid of their whole mutants and just get rid of the idea of a mutant because they're fishing more towards the whole Terrigen Mist and human things.
Yeah.
And, right? So this way, you know, the guys...
That's much more...
Fox can't own it,
yeah,
right, if it's not mutants. So,
right.
X-Men, Inhumans versus X-Men, number one. Of course, you know, it starts off with you kind of find out who's been killed recently. I don't want to spoil it too much, but anyway, yeah.
Okay, I got something to say about this.
Okay, what do you got? What are you going to say?
So, you know, like, I'm the first to admit I don't know much about stuff.
Yeah.
But I do know what I know.
What do you know?
And so I know that just on this whole general theme, maybe Max, you can chime in too, because you're seeing it at ground zero, kind of at the counter of a comic shop.
Sure.
So you got this. It's like comics. It's like comic books, especially on the Marvel end.
Yep.
Are totally irrelevant now and forgotten kind of property because it's all, it seems to me like all economic plays
totally.
To other media.
Yep,
like
totally.
To movies, to TV, to this, to that. Like the fact that me being an old-time comic guy and the fact that for the last year, year and a half, there has not been a Fantastic Four title on the shelf.
Yeah,
it says one of two things. Is A, it didn't sell.
Yeah.
But B, anything that doesn't sell, eventually they try again.
Right.
I mean, you know what I mean. Like for Marvel to have their flagship team
yep.
just totally disregarded and abandoned as a monthly
yep.
or as a whatever, and then to have all this kind of shenanigans around the X-Men and trying to put the Inhumans up to the X-Men level. It's all like, it seems wrong on a comic shop, comic book, comic title level.
Well, I mean, you heard
to that, comic book fans.
It is, but you heard that there's going to be an Inhumans TV show, right? So
yeah, I know. I'm getting all that.
Okay.
And I'm getting why this is all happening, yeah. but like if, at the customer level, Max, are people reading this the way I'm reading it? Or
yeah, I think when you talk about when you're a little jaded over Marvel, that
yeah.
you're not alone because people come in and they'll watch their shows, and once in a while they'll come in and they'll ask for like a Walking Dead or a Daredevil, but it's not as common as you'd think. Generally, the people that walk in the shop want to buy a comic for their niece or nephew
mm-hmm.
that have never
right.
read a comic before, right? They've
mm-hmm.
seen the newest Avengers movie and they're interested to get into it. Mm-hmm. It's so difficult to point to a comic now and say, this is awesome for a kid and this kid's going to love it and they're going to remember
right.
it 30 years later.
Yeah.
Like this is their first comic.
Right.
It feels instead like it's all just corporate trying to reinvent the genre kind of thing or just go back
too many
and do
times,
the things that,
right?
yeah, yeah, do the things that worked for them 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, now how about from the core subscriber base. Every comic shop has that core group of people that get their subscriptions, that get their titles, and those people usually are unwavering in a sense that it's really hard to knock them off their title.
It's,
it really is.
It's,
now, are they willing to like? And their characters are being upheaved and changed, and like from that group of comic shop patrons. Is there rumblings from them at all?
Oh, absolutely. I think if even somebody like me who will buy every Batman title that comes out,
mm-hmm.
last year when they changed Batman, I couldn't stick that out for too long.
Right.
You've got guys coming in. Just last week, a guy came in and canceled every single Marvel title he had, including Star Wars. Doesn't even matter if it's his main characters or anything. He just doesn't want to support the company,
yep.
even though he's been a loyal subscriber for 20-plus years.
Yep.
Wow.
He understands what they're doing to the characters he's grown up with, and they're not the characters he's grown up with anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
not quite there yet, but I'm close to that. Like,
right.
I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the number ones. I'm sick of, you know, Deadpool is the hottest thing, so let's have 40,000
yeah.
Deadpool comics now, and he's in the Avengers, and he's in everywhere, right? Like,
is it then from the publisher perspective, like Marvel, is it then just a misread and a misunderstanding of all the crap that fans would take, you know, and their breaking point? They think there is no breaking point, and meanwhile, obviously, the economics of comic shops are being hurt by people abandoning publishers and titles.
Go ahead, Max.
Sorry. I think it is a misread by Marvel. They're obviously working towards a different demographic than the traditional comic buyer.
Right.
They're constantly trying to reinvent their characters like Iron Man.
Right.
There's two Iron Mans right now, and neither one is Tony Stark.
Right.
The people who come in want Iron Man don't want to read about...
They want Tony Stark.
Exactly.
Well, and you know what? I agree with you. You know, like... That's the problem that I've always had with Marvel is that they change the names too much. They now say, okay, well, now this guy's Iron Man, and now this guy's Peter Parker or Spider-Man. Why not just create a new character and call it whatever that is? Don't and keep Tony Stark as Iron Man and keep Peter Parker as Spider-Man.
I got a solution. I got a solution. You have a two-door comic shop.
Okay.
One door where the company keeps everything the way it always has been and should be. But you kind of got to knock on the door secretly and like,
yeah, Yeah.
Yeah, what do you want? Hank sent me. Yeah, all right, come on in. Because, you know, you have keyword, and then you give them to Tony Stark. And then they go all happy. And then for these newbies coming in, you can try any crap. You just give them and see what happens.
See if they like it or not. Yeah.
Anyway, we spent way too much time on Inhumans versus X-Men number one. Well, hopefully we peeled back an onion layer or two.
All right. And next up. Now, here's something I don't really – again, I'm not a huge fan of it, but I don't mind it, is Hawkeye number one. And, of course, this is the new Hawkeye, the female Hawkeye now. But I don't mind it as much. It's because she was kind of involved in, like, Hawkeye and this new Hawkeye were kind of in the same comic for a little while, So, I don't know. I don't mind it. It's a new take on it. For some reason – Iron Man, like the, you know, Iron Man having 40 different people, I'm not a fan of it, but this Hawkeye, for some reason, I don't mind it.
You're having a real problem with the Hawkeye.
I know, I can't. Hawkeye.
Yeah. Listen, let's get rid of Hawkeye number one and let you know that it's at your local comic book shop today.
All right. And last up, we've got Daredevil by Charles Soule and Ron Garney. This is taken over from the whole Blind Spot storyline right now. But anyways, Daredevil from Marvel number 14. We got to get going here.
All right, Daredevil Max. So Daredevil, Chris and I talked about this earlier. Like, if it's some schlimp I feel sorry for, it's the new writer on Daredevil.
Yeah.
Because of all the pedigree of those, you know, Bendis, Brubaker, Miller, just like,
sure, you can live up to it.
Yeah,
people are so critical of it now; they'd rather read the old stories again than
so. It's not. It's like, these guys, are they cutting the mustard, or are they just being tolerated?
People get excited for a couple months, and then they realize it's the same old stuff.
Like, you know what? I really enjoyed the last big run with Mark Waid did on Daredevil. I thought it was great.
Right,
but again, it wasn't. You know what the problem is? Everybody wants their comics to be dark and brooding, and it's not cool unless the you know, the guy's going through the extreme turmoil. And
I know we're taking up a lot of time with new this week, but I mean, we got Young Max here, so maybe it's a good thing to talk about. This is the publisher's willingness to give creative teams liberties with properties in comic books eclipses most other, I think, creative writing things like that.
Oh, for sure,
you have this, you know, character like Daredevil or Batman or whoever, and you can just basically, you know, finish a story arc and finish a contract with a writer and an artist. And these new guys come in and then they just throw everything up on its head. And everything is just like totally you're not even sure what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's just constant. And I mean, obviously it gives you 70 different takes on Batman and you can kind of pick which one you like. But I'm wondering if the lack of consistency, you know, like the Capullo Batman run, the one that ended with the thing. That's what I envision pure good comic shop publishing to be.
Yeah,
a great creative team on a long run,
producing
quality content on a consistent basis for fans.
Yep, I agree.
All right, hey, Daredevil.
Well, did you
14.
Ask Max a question there?
I think I did.
Oh, did you answer? He didn't say a word. No,
it's all right.
No.
All right. Hey, Daredevil number 14, Max, is available at your local comic book shop today. And, of course, Chris just showed us two or three of the millions that are available at your local comic book shop today. So head on in and check the new this week.
All right. You know what? Let's have a quick musical interlude, and then we'll get back to some more comic book talk.
Comic book talk.
Keep saying that. Hold on a second here.
Talk amongst yourselves. Yeah, are you good? Maybe
on,
I should grab
on,
a coffee.
Let's do this one. There we go.
is that, of course, the theme from X-Files.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Good call on that one.
Hey, listen, that brings us beautifully into industry news. And the first segment of industry news is brought to you by Christmas at your local comic book shop. Why get her a diamond ring when you can get her a Green Lantern power ring instead?
Oh, I like that. Yeah. I like that.
So Christmas at your local comic book shop. All anyway, right. So let's go into industry news, and let's start. Young Max and us, you and myself and
yes.
Young Max were talking
yes.
Before the show started, and Young Max was saying how he is going Thursday night, tomorrow night, to the
Star Wars
yes. premiere.
Yes, that's right.
And so everybody's jacked and excited about it, and I just wanted to see if anybody, without giving any spoilers, beep, boop,
beep,
boop,
boop,
boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop,
spoiler alert,
no
spoiler
spoilers,
alert.
What's the buzz on the Star Wars movie? Anybody know?
So I did do a little bit of research on it.
Uh-huh.
And so far it is the critics aren't allowed to say anything yet. So there's no critical acclaim or disclaim or whatever.
Oh, they're not allowed. Critics aren't allowed to say anything. Like
they're not allowed to say anything. However, there is buzz amongst the fans and on social media about the fact that it's doing. Apparently, it's great.
Right.
So people love it. The fans love it. So, you know, it's but that's all that they're saying. They're not really saying too much about it.
Oh, okay. So really there isn't a lot of internet buzz around it. Have you heard any?
I think it's Disney. I don't think Disney's going to really leak anything before they wanted to, you know. Right. Like last year, nobody saw it until 5 minutes before
yeah.
it got released the first time.
We need a Snowden in Disney.
A Snowden?
Yeah.
Disney leaks.
Disney leaks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Apparently
I don't
want
to go there. I don't want to go there.
He's frozen, right?
So
he's
leaking. He is, all right. So now, you know, this whole show, Chris, is sponsored by Christmas at the Comic Shop.
It is, as a matter of fact.
Now, we got Young Max with us, who's, again, in the trenches at a comic shop during the Christmas season.
Yes.
In general, we here at the show promote the local comic book shop. We want listeners to go in to their local comic book shop. Like, Max, like, do shops, like, are comic book shops a viable place to go Christmas shopping?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this year in particular, I found more than ever, we've had people who have never set foot in the store.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Today I've had at least a dozen people say, this is my first time in the shop. And they come in and they find things they didn't even know.
This will be my last time too.
Yeah.
What a hellhole.
They think it's cool stuff they see on TV. They see it on The Big Bang Theory.
Right.
And then they come in and they're like, oh, this is actually a real thing.
Yeah.
Just today I had a woman come in and for her brother she was looking for something Daredevil. She wanted a toy. Just something dinky. So I gave her the first appearance of Silver Samurai. For $15.
Cool.
And
nice.
I gave her a frame for it.
Uh-huh.
And she was as excited as you could be about any kind of Daredevil gift.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll be back for next year, I'm sure.
Because
she got something unique that she wouldn't get from Walmart or Toys R Us.
Very cool.
Very good.
Very cool.
Good. All right,
so now as far as people coming into the shop, like, do you ever get people who are like, well, I want to spend a lot of money, but I don't want to spend too much money. I want to get an old comic, but I only have $20. Yep. What can I get for $20? You know, can I get that Fantastic Four number one? Like, you know, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. You get people like that all the time. And I think when you kind of taper their expectations a little bit, you kind of point out the different options they have.
Mm.
Maybe instead of a Fantastic Four number one, they can get a Magnet of Fantastic Four.
Oh, yeah. There
That's
you go.
$5. It's,
yeah, nice.
Works
nice.
Right into their budget. It's a good stocking stuffer.
Now if you were to get something from a comic book store, like, say, let's say somebody came in for something for you, because you clearly are a learned individual when it comes to comic books. What would be something that you would not want?
Something I would not want would be the same thing that you would find at any Walmart or Toys R Us.
Okay.
Some dinky toy that gets mass released.
Right.
So there's 4 million of them made and everybody has one. Something that I'm going to throw out. I want something unique. Something that somebody clearly put thought into.
Right.
Maybe a retro game.
No, but here's the thing. So, okay. So
here's
maybe,
the thing.
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
You're supposed to say here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
Thank you.
Sorry.
So.
I think we should have coached him before we went on air. Wonderful.
So the problem with that is people who don't know about comics, they don't know what's the unique items sure. and what's not the unique items. So let's say, you know, I know you're in a relationship. Let's just say you got together with somebody recently and that person decided to come in and get you a gift because they're like, oh, well, Max loves comic books, so I'm going to get him this, you know, Spider-Man glass.
Sure.
Right? So do you just kind of go, oh, thanks, honey.
It's like, it's like, you know, a dad getting a tie from his kid.
Right, right.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Do you say to yourself, well, you know what? This person is trying really hard.
Yeah, I think you go that route.
You obviously want to appreciate the effort you put in. My mom once got me she wanted to give me a Batman comic, so she got me a game guide to the newest Arkham game.
Oh, nice.
It didn't quite hit the mark, but it was a nice thought. It was a nice thought. I think generally the people that come in, though, more than ever, we found that they trust the employees working there to give honest and good recommendations. Yeah. And that I think that's built on the community that we've had over the last 20 years.
Right.
But that just like anywhere, you want to have good, knowledgeable individuals that people can come up to and find something unique and fun.
All right, that's fair.
Listen up, Comic Shop. Keeps spread the word. We'll end Christmas at the comic shop there for this week because we'll revisit it again next week. But
last week before Christmas, so we gotta talk about it.
But
if any of our listeners has any ideas about what to get their favorite comic book geek or nerd, I think you should write in to Comic Culture, which you can find on comicbookdaily.com.
Yeah,
and let us know about either one of your favorite gifts that you've received as for Christmas, rather, or maybe the worst gift or the stupidest gift, you know, keeping in mind that they're not dumb gifts. They're just maybe the silliest gift or something like that. Yeah.
Sometimes they're the most fun.
Or if there's something that you want us to talk about, let us know.
All right. And hey, please go out and support your local comic book shop this holiday season. All right, Chris, let's move on to some movie news.
Movie news.
Some cool stuff. We just already talked
about
Star Wars.
So we talked about Star Wars. Yeah. Now you talked to young Max about Star Wars. You didn't really ask me very much about it. You didn't ask me if I was going to see
the
movie.
Well, you know what? We were talking before the show, and young Max was all excited. He was like a schoolgirl in
Star
spring.
Wars season.
You know, he didn't even ask me.
He's like a little girl in spring.
And
he was so excited, and infectious.
You didn't ask me if I'm going.
Hey, Chris, are you going?
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Going Friday night.
Friday night. Yeah. Not opening night.
Yeah, why are you waiting so long?
Because some of us have to work in the morning.
Yeah. Hey, I got a question. When's it come out on DVD?
Next summer?
Yeah, that'll be a while.
Right.
That's when else.
I think it's Blu-ray, too.
Blu-ray?
Yeah, Blu-ray, that digital download.
Okay.
Yeah. Netflix.
When will I be able to get a pirated copy?
On VHS?
VHS.
Yeah.
Beta.
Yeah.
Hey. So let's talk about this news that I didn't even know until today that Harley Quinn is actually getting a spin-off movie.
Yeah. I got a clue for you.
Go.
Harley Quinn's getting her own movie.
Didn't know.
Yeah.
Didn't have a clue.
Yeah. That's
now,
all right.
Now, who saw, what's the movie she was in? Help me out.
Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad.
Came out yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Suicide
Squad. On Blu-ray.
On Blu-ray?
Yeah.
When's it coming on VHS?
I'll burn you a copy.
Let me know.
Yeah.
So this Suicide Squad.
I'm not really going to burn anybody
a copy. The Suicide Squad that came out last year. Did any of you guys see it?
Yep. Yeah, it's on theaters.
I did not see it in the theater. I'm waiting for it on Blu-ray, so I'll buy it today.
Is she the best character in the movie?
She's got the best assets.
Hello. Yeah, it's the baseball bat, right? The Louisville Slugger?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
She knows how to wield that thing.
Yeah. No, she is the star of the movie.
Yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, but you know, you can as a studio, you can position a star of the movie, but then the star falls flat.
Well, that's sure. I mean, Deadshot, Will Smith as Deadshot was also a highlight of the movie.
Uh-huh.
I don't think he's getting a spinoff.
Right.
But Harley's just marketable. They want to make her the Deadpool.
Okay, so
DC, right?
Totally. Now I haven't seen the movie yet, so and I've heard it's not bad. I've heard it's similar to, you know, people said horrible things about Batman versus Superman. I finally saw it on DVD. I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I saw the ultimate cut or whatever it was called, so with an extra half hour in it.
The ultimate cut.
Mm-hmm. Now. I'm sure now. I know apparently there's going to be an extended cut for this movie as well. It's going to make it better or whatever. There's something about it. I'm sure it's going to be good. I'm sure it wasn't as. It's never going to live up to the hype that people wanted it to be.
Right.
I thought there was some miscast. So was Will Smith good as Deadshot?
Every time I watch Will Smith, I see Will Smith.
Yeah.
I thought he was good as Deadshot, though. I thought he did a good job. I didn't just see the Fresh Prince
up on screen.
You know? Mm-hmm. I think he tried his best to carry the movie, and I really enjoyed it. Okay. I thought the movie is like a good 80s action flick.
Okay, that's fair.
Right on.
It's funny because the guy that directed Fury, the tank movie, actually directed this movie as well. Two completely different movies. Like, one is in Fury, apparently they made Brad Pitt and Shia LaBeouf actually fight it out in real life so they could become hardened brothers amongst the wartime, era. I can't see that happening other than I know that Jared Leto was sending, rats and used prophylactics to people and things like that, but I guess that was his way of making people bond. I don't know.
He's trying to get into the head of the Joker.
Yeah,
he's got a legacy to live up to.
Totally. Yeah.
All right. Well, this movie apparently will have all female villains, including Harley Quinn, Catwoman, Poison Ivy.
Nice.
So it should be cool.
Hey, do you think that maybe Power Girl might be in this?
Is she a female villain?
No.
Well, she might not be in there.
But she's a female character in an all-female cast.
At any
cast.
Point, will any of these female villains need a headrest?
Perhaps.
Well, because... Perhaps. Never mind. Yeah. I'm not sure where I was going with that, but I better cut it short.
Yeah, good idea.
All right, let's keep going with news about movies.
All right,
do we need music?
Yeah, let's have a quick musical interlude.
Yeah, because I feel like I'm talking too much.
Yeah, we need a bit of a cleanse here.
You talk too much. Yo, you never shut up.
All right.
I think that's Beastie Boys.
I think you're right. I think that is Beastie Boys. But let's, hold on. What have I got here?
Coffee talk. This is the part of the show, Max, where I stall for Chris while he looks for music.
Yeah, I'm used
here we
to
go.
That.
I got it. Nope. Hold on.
Right,
wait. So
I do like how they have Geoff Johns in a big role. For
Geoff Johns starring in the movie?
Helping produce.
Spinoff. He's probably their best writer. DC.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he was behind all Rebirth.
Yeah.
Right. And that's that was bringing the legacy.
He was even behind
so.
The early stuff like the 10 years ago, redoing Flash and all that kind of stuff too. So, hey, Chris, how are you?
You guys done yet or what?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, here we go. It's called Night in the City.
You know what that song felt like?
What did it feel like?
Felt like a night in the city.
Felt like a night in the city.
It did. And it's a great segue into the next portion of our show.
And what would that be?
That would be Industry News Part 2, sponsored by your local comic book shop at Christmas.
Oh.
Sorry, I said that wrong. Christmas at your local comic book shop.
Isn't it the same thing?
Why get her anything she likes when you can get her something from your local comic book shop?
It's a great point.
All right, let's talk about. Hey guys, I saw this. Hey, I feel like I'm in with the gang right now.
Oh, all right.
Because today, earlier, I watched the Spider-Man Homecoming trailer.
Did you now?
What
did you think of it?
I thought it was great.
So did I.
I thought it was fantastic. It was awesome.
Did you like the old ones?
No.
No?
The old movies? Films? Yeah. As my buddy up north would say.
Films?
Yeah. Films?
The Tobey Maguire stuff.
I didn't like those at all. Okay. And the other guy, British guy,
Sir
John Gielgud.
Yeah. Sir John Gielgud.
I say. I say, Dr. Octopus, come back here with that auntie of mine. Where was I?
Okay, so anyways.
Yeah, I didn't like the old Spider-Man movie.
Max, did you like the old ones?
I liked him at the time.
Yeah.
I was 11, I guess, when the first one came out, the first Sam Raimi film.
Yeah.
I think it's impressive, though. This is the what, second reboot, third reboot
this will be the
in
third
15
reboot.
Years,
yeah.
And people are excited about it again?
Yeah.
That's I think impressive. They're excited about it because Marvel's doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? Like, I watched the trailer and yeah. I actually got goosebumps.
Because it's Marvel-y.
I can't speak tonight.
It's Marvel-y.
Yeah, it is. It's Marvel-y. It's got
it's
that
Marvel-y.
Drama. It's yeah.
Yeah, it's something yeah. different about
and,
it.
And, you know, I sent the trailer via YouTube to my in-laws, who have now turned all into comic
geeks.
Books geeks. Yeah,
right.
And now they're interested. And of course, they're like, so what's the deal with Spider-Man? How did he get his powers again?
Uh-huh.
And you're like, oh, not this again.
Well, listen, we got to do like a quick spoiler alert here. Spoiler
beep,
alert!
Boop, boop, boop,
spoiler!
Beep,
spoiler! Like, when I was a kid reading Spider-Man, obviously my favorite part about Spider-Man was just the trash talk, the wisecracking.
Right, right. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
The chirping.
Yep.
And the scene, you know, at with when he finds the robbers robbing stuff, and it's like, and it's,
yeah.
that's the way I read my comics.
Yeah,
like,
that's
oh,
right.
So
yeah.
fantastic.
Yeah.
I just got a great little kind of rush of
for sure.
nostalgia
yeah.
to the way I read Spider-Man, and the kind
yeah.
of it. They know that they're hitting on that,
right?
And so it's really good.
Yeah,
so I really enjoyed it. So I'm excited about this one. Now it had another spoiler alert. Beep boop boop boop
boop. Beep.
They had what's his name? Tony Stark in there.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Yes, it had Robert
Stark,
Downey Jr.,
which is really good.
Yeah,
because I told you guys before in that Captain America movie, my
right.
favorite scene in the whole movie was Tony Stark and Peter Parker in his bedroom.
Right, right, right.
That sounds wrong.
But you know
what?
The
way
if,
I meant
you see,
it.
If you see the movie, it sounds right.
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 Okay.
It feels like the most real scene in the movie, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just fantastic. Just really, really well done. Anyway.
Now, did you like the villain in the Spider-Man trailer?
No.
Oh, really?
He looked like the Green Goblin to me.
Yeah.
He looked like Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin
yeah.
a little too much.
Yeah.
I know people are really excited about it.
Yeah.
I'm a little more pessimistic, I think.
Okay.
I also liked the DC movies, so maybe.
So why go when you're
yeah.
doing Spidey? Marvel, they're going backwards and going more organic to the Spidey.
Right.
In terms of giving us that red, bright red, clothy outfit,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
which is exactly what we want.
Right.
And they always try to go to these stupid mechanical updated versions of whether it's Rhino Vulture
yeah.
or Goblin or you know
Rhino
what I mean?
Rhino was a waste.
But why not do that to the villain as well?
It almost seems like with this one, they got, at least my perspective from the trailer, they got halfway through,
uh-huh.
realized they needed to appeal more to modern sensibilities, and just kind of
yeah.
threw
yeah.
in an
no,
electronic villain.
Because
I loved the first half of the trailer,
yeah.
and then the second half felt like
yeah.
the same thing I've seen 20
and
times.
Spidey
yeah.
3.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
exactly.
Looks like Spidey 3.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Why couldn't, if they're going to do like a spoiler alert, beep boop, Vulture.
Yeah.
Why couldn't they make him like CGI with wings?
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
totally.
Like and,
yeah.
and like you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
I agree.
Like why couldn't they do it like comic-y?
Yeah,
right?
I totally agree.
I don't know.
Anyway. I want to see Shocker with big poofy arms.
Yeah,
that's right.
I agree.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
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 So, all right, let's talk about another one that I got pumped me up was the Planet of the Apes trailer.
Yeah, that looks pretty good.
Yeah,
that looks pretty good.
Good.
I was.
Yeah.
Pardon
Sorry.
Me, I'm dying.
Watch Christmas for Clint.
Yeah. So, but spoiler alert, beep, boop,
boop, boop,
boop,
boop.
The villain in that, well, villain, if you want to call him a hero, villain, I don't know which
uh-huh.
I was surprised to see that. I didn't know that he was going to be in that. Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had no idea. So I thought it was interesting to see him.
Uh-huh.
And he plays sort of like
yeah,
this.
See, what do you do there, guys? Listen, we're here. We are Homo sapiens right now gathering around a table.
Right.
Talking about the Planet of the Apes movie.
Yeah.
And Chris, the perhaps... what's the guy?
Most Neanderthal?
No.
Oh.
No. no, what's the guy?
More like.
No, what's the guy during World War II? Quisling.
Quisling.
The traitor.
Oh, right.
Thing. Chris Freudian slipped and said, the villain.
Right.
Right.
So we should be cheering for the humans.
That's right.
Mm. You're right. We should be.
We should be cheering for the humans to slaughter every one of those damn dirty apes.
The only good human is a dead human.
Yeah, apparently.
Apparently.
So, but it's interesting, though, that this movie will have people basically rooting for
the apes.
The apes.
For sure, yeah.
Right?
For sure. You always do. You have to. No,
nobody, no, you know.
Yeah, nobody.
You have to when it's
on.
A family with a little baby running away from
From Victor Newman?
Yeah. But not when it's the annihilation and enslavement of the human race, Chris.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. All
right. My goodness me.
Okay, so in the first Planet of the Apes movie with Chuck Heston there,
yeah.
So did you root for the apes or for Chuck Heston?
I was rooting for Chuck Heston to get away.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you root for the apes until you see the spoilers.
Right. That is true. That is true. Yeah. Anyways, interesting. Very interesting movie. All right. Yeah. So Planet of the Apes. What's that one called again? War on the Planet of the Apes?
It's called...
Beneath the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
I just think it's impressive they're keeping a 50-year-old title new.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
War for the Planet of the Apes. Hey, listen. Let's move on to some kind of disturbing political news.
Uh-oh.
And it doesn't have to do with Donald Trump.
Oh, that's a surprise. Yeah. All right. That's a surprise, yeah.
The United Nations has yanked the ambassadorship, Wonder Woman's... You know, ceremonial ambassadorship to what is she again?
Ambassador.
To what?
UN ambassador. Honorary ambassador.
Honorary ambassador.
For the empowerment of women and girls in a United Nations.
Right. So she was there for 2 months, but there was a backlash in the UN, and they had UN employees petitioning there, and everybody was petitioning.
UN employees.
And everybody. 45,000 signatures to get rid of Wonder Woman as the ambassador because they felt that she was too sexualized to be an ambassador.
Well, you know, I think it's very sad that they've done this because here where they're trying to empower women.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I get it that, okay, she does have, you know, as the theme show song would say, satin tights. But she's fighting for your rights.
She's fighting for your rights.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. In that red, white, and blue.
That's right.
What's more empowering than Wonder Woman?
Right.
I don't
get this.
Yeah, I mean, one of the other honorary UN ambassadors is Tinkerbell. I don't really see any difference.
It really does. Yeah.
Tinkerbell. When she was announced, there was the outcry about people saying, why are we doing this to a fictional character? The whole point of an honorary ambassador is a fictional character.
Right.
Well, you know what I think that is, Max? I think that is a clash of the first world's idiosyncrasies and having fun to the third world's practicalities of, boy, I wish we had enough time to do something as stupid and decadent as this.
Still.
But you know, like, I think there's like a divide there. So, you know, I don't know. I don't want to name a country that is a third world country because then I'm naming that country as a third world country. But I'm saying maybe in that kind of society, it's like, you know, why are we even giving thought to this? This is not in our vocabulary.
Right.
You know?
Right.
We are Russian. Why do we care? You know? But or something like that. But you know what I mean? Like,
right,
like,
right.
And so this is like a Western thing, like a Western.
I feel like it's an internet thing. Right?
But Wonder Woman's more of like a...
Sure, but I feel like this is 20 years ago. It would have gone mostly unheard. Would have been in the Sunday paper and nobody would have heard about it again.
But yeah. I mean, most people didn't even know about it. Like, I would talk about it with friends and colleagues at work. Because I actually, you know, I mean, I talk about comic books once in a while.
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, did you hear that Wonder Woman is ambassador? And they're like, what do you mean ambassador? She's not even real, you know. And,
right.
And which kind of also makes me think, well, if she's not real, then why is there such a big kerfuffle about it?
Right, yeah, right? Yeah.
Like, I just don't understand, you know. It says here...
I saw no harm in it, by the way.
No.
I think it was a great premise, a great idea.
Yeah.
And like I said, if it's anything toward the... Just getting it out in the open, the questions and the conversations about the, you know, the ambassadorship and what she stood for, then it's working, right?
I mean, it says here. So it says here that apparently the opposition focused on the character's figure and costume, arguing that an overtly sexualized image was inappropriate for a campaign focused on women's equality, and that the character was not culturally encompassing.
Right.
So, How do you get a fictional character that's all encompassing of all cultures and all races and all body types and everything?
Yeah,
right.
How do you do that? You don't.
You don't.
Yeah. And so we shouldn't do anything ever.
No, don't ever do anything because you might offend someone.
Right.
Somewhere.
No. Yeah. They are wrong.
Everybody's wrong.
Hey, Chris, listen. Just a little bit of a while ago. Is that right?
A little while ago.
Thank you,
right.
Yeah,
sure.
I knew Max was here
a little bit of a
Max,
while ago.
Keep sitting there in case I need you again.
Okay.
Right?
You will.
We talked about Harley Quinn, and we talked about Catwoman and that kind of stuff. And we talked about, now we're talking about Wonder Woman.
Yep.
And then earlier we talked about Christmas at the comic shop.
Right.
And then I like to stump Chris as much as I can, too, because he stumps the chump more than I stump him.
Yeah, yeah, here we go.
So I wanted to have a little play. This is hard. Okay, this is hard.
Hey, you gave me a stump the chump last week, and I did pretty good.
Uh-huh, you did.
Yeah.
This is a little play on the 12 days of Christmas. Okay. I'm going to go from 12 to 1.
Okay.
And the numbers being the issue number of the comic.
Okay.
So number 12, number 11 of a comic.
Okay. Yeah.
And I will give you the comic book title.
Okay.
And then you will tell me the female character, comic book character introduced in that comic. Whoa, this is heavy and cool.
Okay. Now, are you starting at 12 or starting at 1?
Well, you've got to ask all these questions all the time.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Sorry.
And Max will keep score.
All right. Okay.
So you got a drum roll, Max? Okay, number 12.
Yep.
Batman Adventures number 12.
Oh, an easy one. Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn. You are correct, sir.
Yes. I'm one for one. Can I stop now? I'm batting 1,000.
Number 11.
Okay.
All Select number 11. Golden Age book. All Select
number 11. All Select number 11. I'm going to go with Black Canary.
Blonde Phantom.
Oh.
That was a tough one.
It's tough
Blonde
one.
Phantom.
Blonde Phantom. Okay.
Oh, they get tougher.
Yeah. Okay.
Number 10, Thor Annual number 10.
Thor Annual number 10.
I'll give you 3 seconds, okay, Chris?
Okay, just hold on. Let me give me a second here. Thor. Now, these are just female characters, not necessarily villains or heroes.
Heroes or villains or characters.
Thor Annual number 10. Thor Annual number 10. Oh, my goodness. I don't know.
It's the first appearance of Eresh Kigal.
I can't believe I didn't get that.
She's a Babylonian goddess and a shapeshifter.
I don't know.
What is he? 1 for 3?
I'm disappointed with myself.
Oh, Chris. Yeah. Number 9. Miss Marvel number 9 introduced a female character.
That's Mystique.
Deathbird.
Oh.
All righty.
Mystique 17.
Oh, Mystique 17. Sorry, right.
All right. Okay, number 8, Redemption Time for Mr. Owen.
All right, here we go.
All-Star Comics number 8 from the Golden Age.
Wonder Woman.
All right, number 7.
Yep.
This one you might get because you're just lame enough, Chris. Oh,
yay!
Super Friends number 7.
Super Friends.
Kind of a trick question.
Number 7. I'm going to go with Jaina. From Xan and Jaina.
Wow, he got that.
Got it.
Nice.
Very impressive.
He got that. Yeah. I cannot believe that. Wow. All right. This is a villainess.
Okay, villainess. I'm glad you told me that. That's good. It helps.
Okay. Number 6 from Wonder Woman number 6 in the Golden Age.
Oh. Oh, okay. I'm going to go with Cheetah.
Nice. Wow, look at Owen. Owen's on fire.
Look at you.
Okay, all right. Yeah. All right. I like it.
Okay, number 5.
Number 5.
Number 5. Going back to the Golden Age again.
Oh, boy. Okay.
All-Star Comics number 5.
All-Star.
Predates All-Star Comics number 8.
All-Star Comics number 5. Yeah. Black Canary.
Hawk Girl. The first female superheroine in American comics.
Right. Really?
Hawk Girl. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
All right, number 4.
Okay.
All right, number 4. You're going to get. Hold on, give me a second here. Okay, number 4.
Yeah.
Hawkman number 4.
Zatanna.
Zatanna, you got it right.
Nice.
So, you know, I should have themed this singing the 12 Days of Christmas. Can I go back and start over?
Yeah, please don't.
Okay.
All right.
Number 3. I think Young Max will get this because he's that type.
Okay.
NYX number 3.
Oh, I know this, but I know it, but we'll see if Max knows it.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know her last name. I know her code name. It's X-23.
Right on.
That's good enough. Yeah,
okay, good enough. Yeah. All right. So give that one to Owen because he knew that one.
I knew that one,
okay.
Yeah.
This one's tough, but I have to go with it, okay? Amazing Scarlet Spider number 2.
Amazing Scarlet Spider number 2.
Yeah.
Okay, let me think about that
for
a second.
On the second day of Christmas.
Amazing Scarlet Spider.
I said it all wrong, number 2.
Number 2.
gave to me
silk
joystick.
Joystick.
Joystick. Yeah.
I never even heard. Okay, no, I've not.
Doesn't really sound like a female superhero.
No, yeah, it sounds like a. Yeah, hey, anyways, hello. Yeah.
She is the living embodiment of action.
Oh.
And her strengths are speed and dexterity.
Oh. Yeah, it sounds like a joystick.
All right. Number one.
Okay, number one.
That could have been a million of them.
Yeah,
but
right.
I picked the toughest one.
Okay.
It's Canadian.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Triumph Adventure Comics number one from 1941.
Okay, I know this one.
What is it?
Nelvana of the Northern Lights.
Look at him go.
Congratulations.
Thank Congratulations. Yeah. How did Chris do?
Ding, ding. Let's see.
Da, oh,
da, da. 7 out of 12.
7 out of
12. Nice,
12.
Good job.
That's
nice
all right.
Job. Well,
that's
job.
Like, you know, what's that, 55% roughly?
Yes. Yeah. So the 12 Days of Christmas comics gave to me 12 great superheroines.
I like that. All right. I like that. That's good. That's, right. That's a good quiz. All right, let's we should have a quick cleanse of a for a musical interlude.
Quick cleanse of a musical interlude. I'm gonna. So how about them Jays, eh, Max? Good ball club, looking good. You a Raptor fan?
No.
No? How about a Leaf fan?
No.
No?
Heck
do you
no.
read comic books?
I read some.
No? Yeah. Do you like gladiator movies?
Sure. I love gladiator movies.
All right, here we go.
That, of course, was Annette Funicello and Beach Blanket Bingo.
Yeah, that was exactly fantastic. What it was. Yeah, you like that?
What
is
that from?
That was called Out of Limits by the Marquettes.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
So, you know what? Now that Shecky's gone, I'm playing different music once
in
a while.
Yeah,
right?
You know what? And I'm sick of tired of Huey Lewis in the news.
Sick of tired. All right. What else we got going here? We need a sponsor for the last part of the show.
Oh, last part of the show. Oh, yeah. Put the pressure on me now when I didn't write anything. We didn't receive anything.
Didn't receive anything, right.
Last part of the show is brought to you by Christmas at your local comic book shop. Feel good.
Every
by
day.
Helping out your local comic book shop. Come on, yeah.
I can't,
Scrooge,
I can't.
Get into your local comic book shop.
I can't believe you just made that up.
Yeah.
That's so good. That's so good.
Hey, what do we have time for?
Let's either talk about Free Comic Book Day or let's talk about the slump of sales in comics.
Let's talk about quickly about the slump of sales in comics because we got young Max here. Free Comic Book Day, we have, I think, 12 months until Free Comic Book Day? 11
at least.
About.
So I'm reading the November things, and comic sales are down in November. Generally speaking, Batman rules the roost, and with number one and number two positions, only three comics sold over 100,000 copies. I guess four if you count All-Star Batman at 99,000, whatever the heck it is. And Marvel's dominant position has come through again. So, Max, I'm going to ask you. So, Rebirth. DC's the number one publisher for a few months, and now it's 38% Marvel market share versus 26% DC market share. But that doesn't really say everything, does it?
No, it doesn't. I think it's the most honest interpretation I can give you is when Rebirth came out, the whole atmosphere of the shop was just happy.
Right.
Everybody coming in was
happy.
Just happy to be picking up everything, try it out. I think the big thing is, so Rebirth's titles are all $2.99.
Right.
They're $2 cheaper. And almost everything coming out from Marvel, which
makes
up a pretty big difference in the monetary differential.
Right. Sure, yeah. Right. I agree with that.
But for actual unit shares, it's surprising to me because I get the feeling that like everybody comes in, they want Batman.
Uh-huh.
Everybody comes in and they want Flash when Flash is on TV.
Yeah.
But it's the smaller titles that you don't really get too many people clamoring over, like New Superman. right. or you right. know Chinese so, Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas the smaller Marvel titles seem to gather
Hold
a
on.
Little bit more
Hold
traction.
On. Did I miss the memo? Is there a Chinese Superman?
Yeah, Kenan Kong.
Yeah, didn't you know that?
What's his name?
Kenan Kong.
Kenan Kong.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Chinese okay. Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman.
Okay, but are they in continuity?
Sure, yep. Yep.
So there's just multiple Supermans?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I got it.
And there's also multiple Clark Kents.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I kind of like the way they were doing that with multiple Clark Kents.
Sure.
Because they were like from the different – from pre-rebirth and post-rebirth and, like, you know, the different Lois Lanes. And I kind of mm-hmm. – I didn't mind all that because when, like, they were saying basically the different worlds were kind of coming back together again. And I didn't mind all that stuff. I actually didn't know that the Chinese Superman was in the same universe as mm-hmm. our Superman. I thought they were two different universes.
Is there a British Superman?
Not at the moment.
No. Because the Chinese and the British would say Clark the same way. Clock.
You said that really quietly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clock.
Probably for good reason.
Uh-huh. Well, those cultures don't use their R's.
Right.
I feel like the big difference, though, in the order quantities is if you look at the number ones, there's so many number ones coming out from Marvel.
Yeah.
Multiple times a year.
Yeah.
And whether it's actual people buying it or it's shops, I don't know how many in other shops end up going down to their equivalent of a bargain basement or you know, clearance comics.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I feel like retailers feel the need to order heavy on these number ones, and it kind of
you don't want to miss it.
Do you know, working in the industry, do you know locally in the Southern Ontario area where we're from, any comic shop that ordered 1,000 Venoms?
No way.
No?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No. I don't think anyone wants to take that kind of risk.
Right.
But they do go.
Because you would have got the 1 in 1,000 variant
so,
or something.
Okay,
like that,
so hold
right.
on. So now wait
and
a
that's,
second.
Right.
Did you have to. Now, I know you had to order 1,000 Venoms. But, like, so for example, Venom number one here, there was ordered 90,000 number ones. But that doesn't mean that there's 90 of the 1,000 print. Of the 1,000 copy, you know what I mean? Like,
no. There might be 5 in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what's the point of even... What's the point for a printer to even make them? To make 5 copies or 10?
I guess it doesn't cost much to print them. And for Marvel, if it means if it means Midtown Comics or Westfield Comics
or
My Comic Shop that orders 1,000, then it's worth it for them.
Yeah, I suppose.
Because they're getting, you know... 1,000
and people talk about it. We're talking about it.
Yeah,
like it gets people talking. Same thing the DC did with the Dark Knight Master Race. They had a 1 in 5,000.
Right. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Interesting.
So, go ahead.
Say one thing quickly here. What I'm very surprised about here is so Walt and I a couple of years ago we were talking about these percentages. These same companies, Marvel had like 43%, and DC had like 43% or 42%. Now it's like there's much more of a bigger gap between the different companies. Now, so Marvel
over one third of the market is not the two traditional companies.
Right. So now all of a sudden you've got Image that has almost 10% and IDW has 5% and Dark Horse has 4%. Like there's these smaller companies still have a much larger market share than they used to. And I'm wondering if that's something to do if they're trying to say something to the rest of the Marvel and DC audiences out there saying like, you know, people are tired of same old, right?
Yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah, but I think companies like IDW and Dark Horse and Boom especially, they're relying on properties, right? They're relying on licensed properties to sell their stuff, right?
IDW, Dark Horse for sure, but Image, which has a larger percentage than them, are it's just almost convincing the consumers to give them a try.
Right on.
You know?
All right. Hey, well, we have to thank Max for Young Max
for
joining the show today. Thanks,
Thank
Max. And remind everybody, the comic culture is engineered by Chris Owen. We're at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, podcasting at comicbookdaily.com, getthepointradio.com, and hey, go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a great day.